I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 610, why don't we wish our WGN sales department good luck? It's like the first day of school in a new school. Part one of the big move to our new building went on Friday. And I guess we're subletting most of the seventh floor now. So if you're looking for a place in the city, got a lot of room there.
Nice views.
Great views.
Great views.
I think there's a nice family of mice that have already moved in.
Have they? Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. They're subletting.
Oh, boy.
Yes, there are a lot of dumpsters back there.
It's an interesting time. Our elevators here are about to snap. The cables are about to snap.
Right?
At some point, we're going to have to cover that live. Steve Grzanich, will you be the captain of Elevator Team 1 when the elevator snaps?
When's the last time the elevator said the correct floor?
Right.
When?
And it's weird. We get off on the seventh floor for the offices here, but it always says 8.
Or mm-hmm. 2.
Or 2.
But the elevators are acting like Monday morning now.
Yeah.
The door opens super slow like it's tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cables creak.
Mm-hmm. They're not oiling the elevators, I don't think, anymore.
Why would you oil them?
Why bother?
Right? Everybody's leaving.
Just keep cleaning the toilets. That's all I ask.
Elevator oil's expensive.
Elevator oil. Like on the shelf.
Hey, who had a great weekend? I did. Did you have a great weekend?
I did. I was telling these guys, I went to the mall shopping for the first time because I'm going to Florida tomorrow. And I went shopping for the first time in maybe 10 years. Like,
at the mall.
Not just to go to pick
something
up.
You mean not online shopping?
Right.
No. You know how you...
Where do you normally shop? Other than here.
Online. I went to Old Orchard.
No, but where do you normally shop?
Orland Square.
But stores. Old you just Orchard. Go to like strip centers and things?
No. Yeah. Like a strip mall. Yeah. I mean, there's all different stores. I like Ulta.
But I know what you're
talking
about.
LL Bean now.
I know what you're talking about. I didn't go to the mall. I went to the mall like at Christmas time, first time in a couple of years. Hard to believe the malls are in trouble. I didn't go either.
Yeah, I know. And then I actually went to, you're going to laugh, like Mrs. Fields. You know when you were a kid, you go to the mall and you get a cookie? We actually stopped and got a cookie. And continued shopping around the mall.
That was a big day.
For some summer clothes.
Vanderbilt, do you go to the mall anywhere?
I was at the mall. I was telling Andrea, I don't go very often. My daughter and I went on a little shopping spree Saturday to Yorktown Mall.
Hold on a second. And Dave was at the mall, too.
I was at the mall, too, yesterday. Two malls.
What's going on? And I went to Carson's. Oh, boy.
What did you? Did you go to the mall?
No, Friday night, Ross Cochran.
How was the show?
Oh, it was great. It was great.
She's great.
Kathleen Madigan, hysterical at the College of DuPage. Met a ton of great listeners again.
Yeah.
Wanted to come up and say hi. Very nice. And she's just as funny as it gets.
She's fantastic.
Just not a weak moment front to back. You know, and you know who comes in? So we're sitting there, and suddenly, you know, this show started. And it's dark, and some clown comes walking in, and we're not middle of the row, but we're closer to the middle of the row, and it's dark, and I'm going, well, who is that? Oh, it's Art Norman.
No.
So is that next to Art? I haven't seen Art in a while. He's the best. So Art goes backstage. So Kathleen wasn't doing a backstage thing, so I just sent a note back, and Ross and I took off. And then, you know, just tweeted out, great show. So she tweets back, where were you? I was looking for you. I'm hanging out with Art Norman.
No, are you
serious?
And then
she sent out some pictures of her and Art.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Art Norman.
Oh, God.
Hanging backstage with Kathleen Madigan, one of the greatest comedians.
She is a riot.
She's
tremendous. Told me about her years and years ago.
She's unbelievable.
And I've never seen her live, but she's just fantastic. Did she do the bit about ruining Christmas? It's one of my favorites.
She's her most recent Netflix special.
Oh,
I would recommend because it covers everything from 5-year-olds to drifters to President Trump. So it's all in there. And then yesterday, because Maureen had the flu on my birthday, we did a little birthday thing at Topgolf. So the whole family out at Topgolf.
Isn't that great? That is so much fun.
Nice.
packed wall to wall.
Mm-hmm.
Really made me regret that time I didn't invest with them.
Because you can get food and stuff there too, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, so it's like a giant. You know what it is? Topgolf is the new bowling.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And you get to be outside and get some fresh air.
I don't even know what it is.
It's like, sorry. Chuck E. Cheese for adults with golf.
You can see
without
it from,
the balls.
With, you can
with
see
different
it.
Balls.
Yeah.
You see it from 88.
Yes.
You can see it.
Yes.
There's
a giant net.
You've probably seen it, Mary. You just didn't realize.
Yeah, Mary,
oh,
Mary and Steve, you don't have to know how to play golf. You can suck.
Well, what do you do? Just drive there? I mean,
you do drive there. Yeah. That's the best way to get there.
Or fly.
You practice driving, right?
But then you park and then you go in.
Yeah.
And then you get a bay, B-A-Y.
A bay.
A bay where you can play golf with your friends and you hit at targets. There's different games you can play as you hit at targets and you can order food and booze.
That's awesome.
Like a mini golf?
No.
No, it's golf.
No. It looks think of a driving range.
Yeah.
But instead of
with
just
the roof?
Instead of there's a roof. It's open all winter. Instead of just banging balls like you would at a driving range off into oblivion, you hit at targets.
And you get points.
Mm-hmm. And you get points.
And there's food and booze.
Fun.
It is fun.
Come on.
Yeah.
Food.
Booze and food.
Steve sounds excited. Steve, you ready to go to a Topgolf?
Sure. You just mentioned food. That's all that matters.
All right then.
Can we have a morning show outing there?
It's not a terrible idea.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's
in
not
the
a
winter time, yeah.
Not in the
now
winter.
We'll just go to an actual golf course.
You know what? It's May 1st tomorrow. Mm. I have played golf once.
Are you serious?
One time.
My God, you played usually by, you know.
I would normally have, not exaggerating, 10 to 15 rounds in by now.
Whoa.
I've played once. I don't know if you noticed, April kind of sucked.
Yeah, you got catch up to do.
And Mary, Abigail loves golf.
Oh, already?
Loves golf.
She has a set of clubs?
No, but that's coming.
Oh boy.
Yep. Yeah, we were on the way to the Topgolf, and she kept saying, "I want to play golf balls
instead of four.
I want to play golf balls.
What is she? Yelling?
I want to play golf balls.
Good for her.
So cute.
All these good times are coming for you, Mary Vandeveld,
I'm
in just
excited.
Months.
I'm excited.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
6:21, a lot of whining going on this morning about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, as there is every year. Michelle Wolf is a fairly unknown comedian whose act wasn't very good. And, you know, what's more offensive than a comedian that's not funny enough? It's an impossible room, all of those things, but she chose to make fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' appearance on more than one joke, and I'm not a fan of it. Having said that, the idea that a bunch of Trump folks would line up and say, how could someone be so rude? Hello? Hello? We'll get you a mirror as soon as possible. Top 6 at 6 officially starts now. Today is the warmest day since, any idea? October 21st.
Wow.
It's been a while.
This is like when you want to be in Chicago, you don't want to be like anywhere where it's like a so-called warm climate.
No, starting
you
want to
be
here. Today.
Absolutely.
October 21st.
This is why we live here.
That's exactly right. I take back everything we said in April. Every curse, every why do we live here, it's all gone now. Quack!
Quack!
Our friend, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor says, still thinking about it, still may run for mayor. She said she'd announce on the show, didn't she? Actually,
she did.
Absolutely say there was no place else she'd rather announce. Wasn't that a direct quote?
Yep, I'll play it.
I don't remember that exactly. She did reference the fact that she'd likely announce here.
Well, she's our friend, even if she stiffs us, we still like her. But don't stiff us. Next. To the continent. News of the continent. You know how we always do news of the continent? After traveling through Mexico under Trump's watchful eye, 200 Central American migrants attempting to seek asylum in the United States were stopped when border inspectors said a crossing facility didn't have enough space to accommodate them. This is a part of the nightmare of handling and mishandling the border.
Oh, my God.
This caravan of people coming in is not a threat to America. But they should be a symbol to America that the borders have to be fixed in a sensible way without throwing money away on some stupid coast-to-coast wall, fixing the problem at its core.
Right. But two things are wrong with this on both sides. First of all, the caravan, when you have a pregnant woman trying to climb the fence with her four-year-old, okay, I know they're trying to make a statement, and I understand that, but there is something called due process. And then to have Trump at a campaign stop make fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's sad.
It's just wrong on both
sad.
Sides.
Next. News of the World. You know how we always do News of the World at this time? Kim Jong-un says he's willing to give up nuclear weapons if we vow not to attack. This is going on at the same time that his new NSA, John Bolton, was saying, yeah, we're looking at kind of a Libyan model, which is the exact wrong thing to say, because Kim Jong-un and North Korea's number one concern is what Gaddafi did. Gaddafi gave up his nukes and then was dragged through the streets and killed because he didn't have his nukes to protect himself anymore. I'm not defending North Korea. I'm just saying everybody ought to shut up. Get in a room with Kim Jong-un and do your negotiation. And I like this South Korean president. He seems like the sane one between the two of them.
Moon Jae-in?
Yeah, that's good. Mooney, as I call him.
Mooney. The speakers, by the way, are coming down today.
The Moon Man.
The broadcast speakers, you know, across the DN.
You can pick them up on Craigslist.
Yes.
You mean the sane one between him and Trump?
Yeah.
Between Trump? Okay.
Yeah. Can you see the South Korean president going, wait, it's just me with those two?
You're right.
Like, in a room?
Like the grade school, like kindergarten teacher.
Quack. Dr. Ronny Jackson apparently will not return as Donald Trump's presidential physician. There is paperwork emerging now that seems to go directly against the claim that he had a drunken driving accident, and also refutes at least most of the claims that he was improperly dispensing pills. Mm-hmm. If this is the case, it's a horrific miscarriage here that the guy was dragged through the mud, because you don't get a redo anymore. The world we live in now, judgment is made, judgment is passed. Oh, there was a correction? I don't have time for a correction. I'm moving on to something else I need to judge. So we'll see what happens to Dr. Ronny Jackson, though the word is now he will be on the medical staff, but he will not be Trump's physician.
I heard somebody over the weekend say if none of this stuff is true about him, why doesn't the president just renominate him?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, or a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah, and let him go through the process and see what comes out.
And there's an interesting legal thing here. Maybe we can pick this up with Kieran Conti. But you can't sue the federal government per se, but could he sue Senator Tester individually? I don't know the answer
to
that.
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't know. And finally, Sprint and T-Mobile are merging, which would limit us to only three major wireless carriers. Those three are Verizon, AT&T, and the new Sprint Mobile T-Mobile combination. I was trying to help him with the name. Tint?
I like that.
T-Print?
Sobel?
Yeah. I think it'd be Sprobel.
Sprobel.
Or you go just with the acronym SPRM. No, that's a bad idea.
No, that's not good.
I feel sorry for Paul.
Paul, the Sprint guy?
Yeah.
He just can't hold a gig.
Yeah, he just got a new gig. Now he's going to go back to T-Mobile.
Does T-Mobile have a recognized commercial? They really don't, do they?
I didn't even know Paul had a name.
Yeah, he's Paul.
Yeah, I guess Paul was the last big T-Mobile ad guy, right?
Until he jumped to Sprint.
Traitor. That's what his name is.
Traitor. Paul the Traitor.
My cable company promotes wireless service.
Yeah, but it's not one of the majors.
It's not?
No. Do you use your cable company's wireless?
I do not.
Yeah.
I use them for everything else, but not cable, not wireless.
No. Comcast is more than happy to offer wireless, you know, to me, and I'm more than happy to say no, because Comcast gets enough of my money. All right, well, there you go. That's your top six at six.
That's it! That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I remember Friday when we were doing the worst birthday gifts in honor of Melania.
Oh, yeah.
It's so many of these left over. First birthday after we got married, my husband got me a meat slicer and then wanted me to make sandwiches for him. 630, my boyfriend got me a perm on his head for his birthday. I laughed really hard at him. It's the last time I saw him.
Was this like circa 1983 or?
Probably 70s, right? 847, four slice toaster. Any questions? 630, a power washer. Who gets a woman a power washer on her birthday? Unless a woman says, I'd really like a power washer for my birthday.
What's wrong with the four slice toaster?
Well, it's your birthday. What do you want a four slice toaster for? Oh, like you wouldn't be upset if somebody
I would. Absolutely.
I know what Andre's getting for her birthday.
No, I don't want that. Forget it.
1973, my husband got me a gallon of whiskey, top shelf Seagram's. That's it. He's my ex-husband.
Oh.
Actually, for you, Dave, that'd be a solid gift.
No, not so much for me. Maybe for Andre.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of gifts. Prime.
608, my husband bought me a headlight for the car. It was in a Kmart bag. He's still with me 31 years later. Oh. I've trained him. His gift giving has gotten better.
Well, you need a headlight.
Did he install it at least?
And you need a gift bag.
Oh, no. This is like the Anna DeVlantis thing for Valentine's Day when the boyfriend got her wipers.
Oh, yeah.
224, my husband got me money. Gave it to me. Said, buy yourself something. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Fresh X.
Unromantic, but at least she can get what she wants.
There's an arc of time that goes with that. The longer you're together, the better off you are and the less heat you'll take when it comes to gift giving.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, give him money. What are you, dad? She gets an allowance? Come on.
Go have fun.
708, my girlfriend gave me a set of pots and pans. Every single guy wants that, right? 630, there was a note on my dresser the next day saying, sorry, I missed your birthday. Hey, happy birthday.
Oh, all right. It's like a Sex in the City move.
Not great. Not great. And did we do this one? 773, a bad birthday gift. My birthday fell on Mother's Day. I had the third baby a month before. My husband got me a breast pump.
Oh, no.
How sweet.
Especially when he can rent them.
Not cool.
What?
Okay. You can rent breast pumps.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
What?
From the hospital. The hospital gives them to you.
Why would you rent a breast pump?
Yeah, why can't you? You should get your own.
I don't know. Okay, first of all.
Some people don't know if they can actually breastfeed, so you know, sometimes it doesn't work out.
And the parts, like the part that attaches and things like that are...
The boob filter?
Your own,
I don't want to use technical
You get your
terms
own
here,
cords.
The,
it's just the machine boob filter. Part. It's like a little pump. Yeah, the machine part is the part that is reused. You get your own attachment.
I don't know.
That makes more sense.
There still might be some remnants in there.
Oh, come on.
Remnants.
It's disgusting.
That is remnants. Would you want your baby milk coming from?
I don't breast pump. I've had a long stand against me breast pumping. 6:30, headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You know, it doesn't matter how sick somebody's been or how old they get, it's still tough to say goodbye. You know, JC, our old chief engineer here, who died a week or so ago, I guess 2 weeks ago now, very well thought of, and he'd been sick for a long time. But, you know, it's tough. And over the weekend, we found out that David Hochberg's mom passed.
Yeah.
David Hochberg is more than just a client and a partner. He's a friend.
Yeah.
And God bless Myrna Hochberg. And services will be for her today. So we're thinking about the Hochberg family, and God bless them. So if you're going through that, just know that there's people out there that love you, and we understand. And sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Mm-hmm. You just sit and listen, and that's a good thing to do, too. All right, let's get to another pal here, because it's time for Doc.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Doc Most.
Back from one of his legendary brothers' trips. How was Pinehurst?
Pinehurst was fantastic.
Did you get good weather?
We had great weather. Great weather every day. Rained in the evening, so it was awesome. And we had great weather, and it was a great time.
Did you see our old friend Peter?
We did see Peter. Actually got to play with Peter, and David threw 5 birdies at us with Peter as his partner, so Brad and I got our whooping. But
little brother David's playing that well.
Yeah, how about that? 5 birdies on the first day.
Obviously not working much.
Exactly.
Wow, very impressive. Well, glad you had a good time. By the way, if you're interested in any real estate in Pinehurst, Doc now owns all of it. He's the Donald Trump of Pinehurst, but I mean that in a positive way. And he'll be happy to talk deal with you. Who knew you were going to get into real estate, you baron, you mogul?
Yep, brilliance.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. All right, Doc, what's the topic of the day?
Well, I'd like to talk about two things. One is a big research project, and then one is something that's going to really start bothering people probably this week, and that's springtime allergies are big right now. So you go where you want to go.
Well, the allergy thing is a big deal. Let me start with one of the basics. How do I know if it's an allergy or a cold?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question that people often ask. And usually what I'll tell them is, do you have a fever? Are there more symptoms than just what you expect to see with your allergies? Your runny nose, your kind of itchy eyes, your sneezing. You know, do you feel bad? Do you feel really tired? Do you have body aches? And the other thing is, a cold's going to last you 7 to 10 days. Allergies are going to last you, unfortunately, until whatever you're allergic to has decreased as far as its counts.
Do you believe in a daily prophylactic over-the-counter allergy med?
Absolutely. You know, allergies, our big thing is let's try to control the symptoms as much as we can. And the symptoms from allergy are caused by the release of histamine in our body. And if we can block the release of histamine, then you don't have much symptoms. So I always tell people, if you know what you're allergic to, start those antihistamines 2 weeks before the allergies actually start, and you're going to do much better. So we're trying to block the symptoms. Would you rather block them before you have them, or would you try to slow them down after they occur?
Got one you like better than the others? Allegra, Zizol, all the ones that are out there?
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting thing. You know, we used to just have Benadryl, and 50 milligrams of Benadryl is called a nap. You know, you'd fall asleep right after that. So now with the, you know, in the 90s, we brought out Zyrtec and Allegra and Claritin. Those are the ones that you got to figure out, okay, which one is going to work for me? So you might have to try them. And they say, should I take Claritin or Claritin D, Allegra or Allegra D? People that can block those symptoms early don't need the decongestant portion of it. They just need the antihistamine. If you're trying to play catch-up, then you take the antihistamine along with the decongestant.
So the D, don't take the D unless you need it.
Correct. Yep.
All right.
Take the decongestant if you don't need it. Yep.
Any interactions with other meds? Should you check with your pharmacist before you take these, or are they generally pretty safe with everything?
No, they're pretty safe, but absolutely check. You know, we used to be that these medications were prescription only, but now that they're over the counter, your doctor may not even know you're taking them. So he's going and changing blood pressure medicine or diabetes medicine or whatever, and he doesn't even know that you're taking them unless you give him that information. So the big thing is to make sure that you check with either the pharmacist or your doctor and say, hey, I am taking these. Is it going to interact with anything? If you don't want to check with them, there's plenty of websites where you can go on and put drug interactions. Add the drugs that you're in, add your new antihistamine drug, and see if you have any problems.
Doc, as we get older, can allergies appear and present themselves in different ways every year? In other words, like some years I get a headache, other years I get a stuffy nose, other years I get runny eyes. Can they differ? And do you have to go to an allergist to pinpoint exactly where they're coming from and what medicine you should take?
Yeah. So as far as the symptoms, it can vary whichever way. You get some pine pollen or some tree pollen in your eyes are going to tear more. You breathe them in because you happen to have them in your backyard, you're going to get more of the respiratory. And you actually made a good point. Now, what am I actually allergic to? So some people say, I don't care what I'm allergic to, I just want the medication. Other people say, I want to know what I'm allergic to. And I always give the analogy, let's say you're allergic to trees, and you're planting trees in your backyard. Do you want to plant the three trees that you're allergic to make sure that you're going to get allergy symptoms, or are you going to try to avoid those?
That's when I stopped having people plant cats in my backyard because, you know, being allergic to cats,
that'd be a problem.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, Doc, to what extent, just to follow up on what Andre asked, to what extent does your body's reaction to certain allergies change as you get older? I mean, is it true you would be less allergic to something potentially in your 60s than you were to that same substance when you were in your 30s or 40s?
So when Dave hits puberty, is it going to change?
Dave, it's actually interesting what you just said, is because what's cool is if you think about people that get allergy shots, what happens is we start at a low dose and then increase our dose up so that people can tolerate it. The same thing happens with age. You start to get a little bit more tolerant as you age. So you start to see that your allergies are really bad as you're younger. And then as you age, you're not outgrowing the allergies. It's just that your body has kind of built up a tolerance and is a little bit used to them. So it actually will decrease a little bit. That's why if you go into an allergist or an ENT office, often it's filled with kids versus people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
The tree pollen thing and the air quality counts are a big deal to meteorologists. Should we pay attention to those as people?
Yep. You know, if you look at all the phone apps right now, are going to tell you, you know, I looked this morning, you know, tree pollen is high right now, birch, maples, poplars, cottonweed. You're going to look at those because if you know what you're allergic to, as you see those counts come down, you can stop the antihistamine. You don't need to take it year-round if you're not allergic to things that are not around. So if you're allergic to birch or maple trees, you know you're going to need this here for the next couple of weeks. But after that, why take a medication? Why spend the money for something that you don't need?
And I feel for allergists, but I also feel for people that have to go. Amy has gone to an allergist a million times. It's not an exact science. It's not so easy when everything in the world could be causing the problem. And that's why the testing is so extensive, right, Don?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and we are. We're exposed to so many things in the environment right now, and a lot of them are not, quote-unquote, natural. But the ones that are natural, you know, we'll test for those. And the allergist is going to say, you know, unfortunately, you're allergic to tree grass and, you know, dander or cat dander. And it's like, I'm sorry, you are one of these people that don't have a cat. You know, go to Arizona and your allergies are going to be fine. But if you stay in a local area with the trees that you're going to have here, you're going to have symptoms year-round, and you are someone that's going to need to be on those medications.
All right, we'll take a break and figure out what's coming up here at 7. But last question on this before we come back to talk about that research you mentioned. Flonase, is that a step up from the meds before?
Well, Flonase is actually, you know, it's a steroid spray that's going to help take down inflammation in your nose, and it's going to allow you to breathe much easier. So Flonase is definitely there, again, if you haven't stopped the symptoms. So using Flonase with the antihistamine is going to block, you know, the release of histamine, and Flonase is going to take down inflammation and take away some of those symptoms. So often used together, Flonase alone is not going to block antihistamine, so you will have symptoms, but this is going to make them a little bit more tolerable.
Can you still get addicted to nasal sprays, or is that over?
Well, you know, the nasal sprays that you got addicted to, you know, are not the Flonase ones. So those are the steroid ones. Those are the ones that are good. The the nasal spray. But those are the ones that cause vasoconstriction, and those are the ones that you can get addicted to. And I will remember the name. I can't
even. Is that like Afrin? Is that it?
Afrin, exactly. Yep. So
the idea is if you use Afrin over and over again, your nose will get used to only working if you're using Afrin.
Correct. And then when you stop, then the blood vessels again will start to expand, and now you'll have a, what we call rebound effect, where it's actually even worse than it was before.
So, not good. We'll take a break. Only got about a minute here with Doc, but I want him to update on the All of Us research program. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this about a month ago. You know, this is probably one of the biggest health initiatives that everyone can participate in, and hopefully people will. When we look at personalized medicine or precision medicine, what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture a million people's information here. You know, tell us more about how you live. Tell us about your lifestyle. Tell us about your environment, your genetics, and we're going to take some blood from you. And what this is going to allow is going to allow us to figure out how can we find medicines that work easier, quicker? How can we prevent illness? So it's something that's a nationwide initiative, and it's kicking off this weekend. We've been running beta sites at Northwestern and UIC and Rush, and now it's going to be kicking off on Sunday at Millennium Park, Sunday, May 6th, from 11 to 5. But this is an opportunity for everyone to change how healthcare is going to be delivered in the future and how, you know, I'll give you an example, right? I have high blood pressure. You have high blood pressure. We both take the same medicine. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure is fine. Yours is not.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is that? So what we're going to do, in order to do this, we need a big database. So this is the start of it, and it's very fascinating, and hopefully everyone steps up in Chicago.
You can be a part of it.
Yeah, we should be able to collect easily 250,000 people here.
JoinAllOfUs.org, J-O-I-N, JoinAllOfUs.org is the website. Doc, of course, is always sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better healthcare starts here. Doc, you're a huge sports fan. I'm a huge sports fan. We both have tremendous respect for the voice of Northwestern, Dave Ennett, and, of course, John Weideman, and all of our friends who are in sports casting.
Yep.
So over the weekend, I noticed in the NFL draft that, boy, we had a lot of tough-to-pronounce names. So we're going to put Dave Ennett to the test today, Doc. You can help us be judgmental of him right now. Joe has some music ready. Joe, once the name is selected, we're going to give Dave 10 seconds to kind of put this together in his head, and then he will improv the hard-to-pronounce or funny name from the NFL draft into some play-by-play. Are you ready, Doc?
Yeah, I'm ready. This is going to be good.
All right, Mary Sandberg playing the role of Vanna. She has a hat with all the names in them. Dave, pick your first name.
Only one, Dave.
Reaching in the hat.
Only one.
And he's opening the name. And who did you select, Dave?
Got to open my mic. Kentavious Street, defensive tackle, North Carolina
State. That's right, Kentavious Street. I had an apartment on Kentavious Street for a while. I don't know if you know that. Kentavious Street, defensive tackle for the North Carolina State Wolfpack. It went to the 49ers. Dave, whenever you're ready, let's hear Kentavious Street as done by you.
All right, Mitch Trubisky, the Bears on the drive here. Kentavious Street lines up. Defensive tackle for the 49ers. They need a stop here. Hand off Matt Forte. Off the right side. Hit by Kentavious Street. And down he goes.
That was like a bus on Kentavious Street running over Matt Forte.
I like that name, Kentavious Street.
Well done. Doc, your thoughts?
Except I should have had Forte go like the distance. Just
It's the Bears.
Just, yeah.
Yes,
no,
we
still do that.
Doesn't Kentavious Street have a nickname yet?
K Street. Got to be K Street, right?
There you go.
Yeah, it's got to be K
Street. Cool. I brought Forte out of retirement.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you brought him out. That's a nice start.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Stand by for Kiki Cootie as one of the guys coming up later. And Folorenzo Fatukasi also coming up later in the program as we put Dave to the play-by-play test. So, Doc, what would you give him, 1 to 10?
I give him a 9.5.
Wow. Oh,
thanks, Doc.
You're welcome, Dave.
Joe, what would you give Dave?
I give him about an 8.8.
An 8.8. Okay. All right. Fine.
You didn't ask what I would give him.
Well, what would you give him?
A 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're never that
Sandberg,
nice to
help me.
Me
out here.
She's going on vacation, so she's being ridiculous.
I know.
We can't even count her.
Yeah. I think it's a solid 5.
And I'm going to go 5 as well because he didn't use people that are in the NFL right now.
Wow.
Well, Trubisky is.
Matt Forte.
You don't know. We
he never
gone
had
to camp
a chance
yet.
To play with Forte. I thought it would be cool.
All right, Doc. Enjoy the day. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Dave, that was pretty impressive. A no notice. I do have to say the one name you picked, though, is one of the easier names. I mean, we haven't gotten to Chukwuma Okorafor. That's one of the names coming up. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm 712 now. President Trump in his campaign rally. That's right, I said campaign rally speech over the weekend in Michigan. Took full credit for everything that's gone on in the Asian Peninsula. I think the South Korean president might deserve a little bit of credit, but I know who knows more than us. Michael Auslan from, from everywhere. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Steve, how are you doing?
You're the first guy I thought of when we got this incredible news the other day that Kim Jong-un and President of South Korea Moon Jae would meet, and then that amazing picture where they step over the curb back and forth. I mean, what did you make of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because they're pictures the world thought they would almost never see, right?
Right.
They thought he might have the South Korean president stepping over the line alone because the North collapsed, or the North stepping over the line alone when they invade. What they didn't expect was the two presidents or the two leaders holding hands going back and forth. I mean, it was incredible theater. And you got to understand, I mean, this is even, it's as dramatic for Korea as the pictures of the Berlin Wall coming down were for the West,
sure.
Right? This is... Now, it does not mean that, obviously, North Korea's collapse, that the borders open. This is just the potential, possible beginning of a long process. But no one ever thought it was going to happen. The question is, what does it really mean, and is it real? And that's, you know, we have to get past the euphoria of this picture and say, okay, what's actually changed?
So here's the question that I would have right out of the gate, and that is, this happens now. Why? Is it because of the sanctions? Is it because a literal mountain may have collapsed where the testing went on? I mean, what do you make of why now?
Well, I think there's two logical answers, and truth is we'll never know, and I think that it's probably a little bit of both. The first is that Kim Jong-un is scared. This is the leader of North Korea. He's scared of President Trump. He's scared that he doesn't know how far Trump will go. You know, you read a lot of the press, and I'm actually surprised at how many people around the world and on both sides of the political spectrum really believe that this is happening because Trump credibly threatened war, and Kim Jong-un, you know, doesn't want to be overthrown, doesn't want his regime and his state to collapse. So he's afraid of this madman theory. He's afraid what this unhinged American president might do. And so he's come to the table at least to try to take the pressure off. That's number one. Number two, he's coming because he's really confident. He has nuclear missiles now. You know, he has ICBMs that can reach the U.S. He has a nuclear warhead. And so for him, this is the perfect opportunity now to come and try to get things that he's always wanted, i.e. recognition as a legitimate state, recognition as a nuclear power, potentially putting enough pressure on South Korea and the South Korean president to say, hey, let's come up with some type of deal and let's try to get the Americans off of the peninsula. So what I think is it's actually probably a combination of both. This young leader, we should not underestimate how successful he's been and how confident he's been, but he is also afraid. He doesn't want to lose what he's created.
Are the people of South Korea, and obviously we know more about them than the people of North Korea, excited about this possibility?
You know, that's a great question. I think, obviously, any time you've lived under the threat of war or attack for 70 years, the idea that now you may be getting to a stage in history where you don't have to worry about that, of course, that's being welcomed. People on the left in South Korea in particular, and the president, the new president, who, of course, was elected after the old president was removed from office for corruption, he's from the left, and he was part of the group back in the last decade and before that was always pushing for an entente or a detente with North Korea. So there are large elements that are, you know, are thrilled at the idea that you won't have war, which is absolutely appropriate. The question is at what cost? And if you talk to the young generation in South Korea, they are not interested in reunification with the North. Their elders are, because their elders have family members, you know, that they knew personally or remember a united Korea, though, of course, those numbers are getting smaller over time. But the South, the kids in the South, they don't care about the North, and they don't want reunification because they know that it is going to cost an enormous, almost unimaginable sum of money that could impact their standard of living.
Michael, when the North says they're disarming or they're stopping their nuclear problem, what exactly does that mean? Do they put a big padlock on the facility? Do they fire everybody? Or is it really just a spoken promise because they're saying, yeah, we're going to stop this, when maybe in the back of their heads or in a different factory or a different portion of the country, they're still continuing to develop these?
Right, exactly. So now we move from this euphoria and the idea that, my God, we've broken this deadlock and this is a new era, to the hardcore reality of diplomacy and politics and strategy. So first of all, we've seen this before with North Korea. This is not the first time the North Koreans have said, hey, we'll stop testing and we'll stop missile programs and we'll shut our facilities if you can come to the table and we can get a deal. This has happened multiple times.
Well, as recently as 1995, right?
Well, even more recently, in the 2000s, under the Bush administration, okay, when they also put a lot of pressure on them. We've also seen promises, both in the 1990s and the 2000s, for a peace mechanism, a peace process, to finally resolve the Korean War. Don't forget, the war has not ended officially. It is in an armistice. It's been in an armistice since 1953. So technically, there's still a state of war between the United States and North Korea, and then South Korea and North Korea. This has happened before, that the North has said, and the South and the North together have said, now we're moving towards a peace process. So none of this is new. We've seen it before, and it is always used by the North to take pressure off of itself when sanctions are particularly tough, or there is rhetoric of war, or they're worried about something. And it is to get all the parties to the table where you can begin often a very long, drawn-out negotiating process that can take years, which, if you're an authoritarian state, that's as good as, you know, having an agreement, because you've sort of frozen things in place. What happened in past times, of course, when the South said, well, we'll stop producing nuclear weapons or we'll shut down our reactors, you know, we'll padlock them, so to speak, is that they pursued other means of getting nuclear weapons. If they shut down the plutonium, they were pursuing the uranium and vice versa, or they were just working on the missiles, or they were working on other things. So the problem is that there's almost no way to perfectly verify what the North is and is not doing, and you have to go on trust. Now, that sort of brings us back to the nature of Kim Jong-un and this regime. This is not a regime this is not East Germany in 1989. This is not a regime that's liberalizing. It's not a regime that says we're opening up the border.
We don't even know if the people of North Korea know this went down, do we?
They have information. We know, of course, that that Kim went to, that the leader went to China, and that there are negotiations that are going to be beginning. Obviously they saw pictures of the North and the South together, you know, the two leaders together. So they know something's afoot. Whether they know the full extent of the threats by Trump, you know, probably because the North Korean regime uses that to tell the people, look, we're at risk from the United States. They're threatening us. Whether they are giving all the information about promises they've made, we don't know yet. But information does leak back and forth across the border. It's not that it's a hermetically sealed society.
Right. The refugee problem you alluded to would be huge. The cost that you alluded to the South Korean economy would be huge. There's a lot to work out here. So when Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un get together, assuming that still happens, the South Korean president is crucial in that, and I don't know, refereeing, for lack of a better word. But who is at greater risk in that meeting, Trump or Kim Jong-un?
I think that's the best question, Steve. And look, it is high risk, high reward on both sides, but it's really high risk, high reward for Trump. It's how he operates, as we know. This is an enormously risky gamble. And you're right, by the way, you raised a really important point, I'm glad, which I wanted to mention, which is that a lot of this process, by the way, at least in terms of the diplomatics, have been driven by the South Koreans and the South Korean president. Trump may have set it in motion with his threats, potentially. We don't, you know, we'll never fully know. But the outreach and the meeting and all of this has really been pushed by the South. Now, that, you know, that makes sense. Look, it's their peninsula. It's their country, their countries. They've got to figure out how to solve this together. But for the United States, there's enormous risk in rushing into a meeting at the very highest levels without having everything spelled out, without knowing exactly what's going to come out of that meeting. And, of course, the greatest risk is that Kim will come in promising the grand bargain to Trump, which is to say, look, now you and I in this room can settle this problem that's bedeviled the world for 60 years. All it takes is that you get your troops off the peninsula, you break your alliance with South Korea, we promise to do what we're going to do. And if all that worked out, you know, that would actually be great. That's the end result we want, is peace on the peninsula. But it has to be very, very carefully negotiated and thought out, so that what it doesn't look like is a U.S. surrender and a capitulation, that we lose an alliance with South Korea, which would make our other alliances in the region very, very nervous, and quite frankly would be a great win for China, who would instantly and immediately increase their influence on the peninsula and throughout the region.
Michael Oslin, fellow in contemporary Asia at the Hoover Institute at Stanford University. His book, End of the Asian Century, is must read for this knowledge in general. And we're going to need you a lot more because we're just getting started here. But, Michael, thank you.
Anytime, Steve.
There you go. Michael Oslin. He takes that entire region and boils it down into something that even I can understand. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'm just another pretty face.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
It is 728, Steve Cochran Show, number 1,135 on the last day of April. From beautiful downtown Chicago, wherever you are, I hope it's just as nice where you are. Come here, give me a hug, listener. Get over here. Sandberg's here. Did you stalk a listener this weekend?
I did. I, you know, we got the White Sox now on our station.
Yeah, we're the flagship.
We are. And so one of the things that our boss Todd has challenged us to do is get some White Sox fans on who've been White Sox fans.
Get them fired up.
For a very long time.
We got White Sox tickets in an hour.
Yes, yes, we do.
All right, so you're out having dinner with your husband?
We were out at Dover Straits in Mundelein, which is a restaurant we've gone to my whole life. It's a seafood restaurant. We used to always go for special occasions.
Minding your own business, not hurting anybody? Mm-hmm.
It was also my dad's Cheers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if we couldn't find my dad, we would call the bar at Dover and ask for Dick Sandberg. But that's a whole separate story.
But you know how everybody would yell Norm when Norm would walk in? Did they all yell Dick when Dick would walk in?
They're Greek, so they say Deek.
Oh, Deek. Okay.
Yeah.
So, they hug and kiss us. They're great. And we have this Deek server, Frank, who's amazing. And so he was waiting on Pat and I. And then there was this older...
Pat Boyle, NBC Sportsnet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Pat. And and then the booth next to us had two couples in it, and they were a little bit older. And so Frank was waiting on them as well. Well, when they got up, one of the guys slipped into a really nice leather Sox World Series jacket, like the really nice one. And so I asked as they were leaving.
Wait. As I heard this story, because normally, as you know, I go out with Sandberg and Pat.
That's
is there
right.
A third wheel?
The third wheel.
But as I heard this story, you embarrassed your husband because you ran after this dude.
Well, I asked Frank, the server. I said, hey, Frank, are they regulars? I assume most people that go there have been regulars. And he said, oh, Mary, yes, 30 years. And so I said, I need to go get his number. And Pat said, please don't. And
thanks, Pat.
With that, I hopped up and I ran out of the restaurant with no jacket. It was freezing on Friday night. And I'm like, excuse me, excuse me. And so the wife, the two couples were there, but the wife turned around. And I said, hey, I'm the executive producer of the Steve Cochran Show on WGN Radio. And we now have the Sox and we want to talk to people that have been fans a long time. And I understand that being accosted after you've eaten dinner, is that's a lot to process. And I said, so I was wondering if I can get your number. And he said, to his wife, that's not my style. And she said, come on, do it. So I handed her my phone, and his name is Edwin Keating. And he said he could tell me about 1959 Sox.
Well, come on, Edwin.
I know. So if you know Edwin Keating,
does he go by Edwin?
Yeah. And so you should tell him that you want to hear him on with us.
Absolutely.
He didn't, I think he's not a showboater or something, but his wife thought it was a cute idea.
It's a great idea.
He probably has great stories.
Well, I know. Yeah. He's, if you've got that jacket, you really are invested in the team.
Yeah, and he can talk about 1959, which means he can talk about every other year.
Yeah.
And the the 60th anniversary is coming up next year.
Well, there we go, Edwin.
It's timely,
I did get his number from his wife, but I might need help in people.
It's an interesting approach that you have this hot blonde come running up behind you and go, hey, can I get your husband's number?
Yeah, I know. Exactly, I know. Right. It was a little...
And look at you working on a Friday night.
I know. I never stop. Pat, please don't. And then I took off. So
Once again, I'd like to thank Pat for helping us promote.
I know. He was still sitting in the booth when I got back. So I know. I can see where it's a little bit much.
Good. Edwin again?
Edwin Keating, yeah.
Edwin Keating. Come on, man. If you know Edwin Keating, let's put a little friendly pressure on Edwin to join us on the show.
He's going to show up on Pat's radio show this morning.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's how Boyle rolls.
Your crazy wife chased me out of the restaurant.
That's exactly right. All right, cool. We'll come back and do your headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ryan Nobles from CNN standing by. Let me grab Bill real quick here. Bill, you're a lifelong Sox fan. Bill, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
You're a lifelong Sox fan?
Yes, I am.
Well, we got to talk more to Bill then. Hold on, Bill. I want to get your number. Stand by. We'll get Bill back on for our lifelong Sox fan regular feature called Lifelong Sox Fans on the Phone. I got to come up with better names for these features, don't I?
A little long, yeah.
Ryan Nobles spent the weekend anchoring again, killing it on CNN. Nice job as always.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Monday to you guys.
And a happy Monday back at you. All right. So the president takes credit for all the goodness that possibly could go on in some sort of settlement between North Korea and the rest of the world. Tweets this morning, not so much. But I thought one of the more interesting stories from the weekend was this Dr. Jackson thing. What do we know?
Well, I find it interesting that the administration has decided to go into a full-throated defense of Ronnie Jackson after they decided to pull the nomination. Because, you know, I was in the throes of it this week on Capitol Hill as the nomination was falling apart. And, you know, they for the most part, left the admiral and doctor to himself to fend off these accusations of, you know, misconduct in his office, that he was dispensing pills without, you know, enough of a reason to, and that perhaps he was drunk on the job. You know, we hardly heard at all from the White House. Then he decides to pull his own nomination, and now all of a sudden they've decided to go after John Tester, the ranking member of the Veterans Committee from Montana. And you have to imagine that that's in some way, shape, or form connected to the fact that Tester is in a red state and is up for reelection in the fall. And it seems in many ways that Ronnie Jackson has just become a pawn in the Trump administration's hopes to keep the Senate. And it's yet another example of how they just don't appear to be vetting these candidates that they put up for these hugely important responsibilities before they send them over to the Senate. And Jackson's just another example of that.
Yeah, and Tester, though I was increasingly uncomfortable with each interview that he did, Tester, his Republican counterpart on the Veterans Committee, said he acted completely appropriately.
That's 100% right. And, you know, I talked to Johnny Isaacson himself this week. I was in contact with his staff over the weekend. You know, they, despite the president's attack on John Tester, they've reiterated that they've had no problem with the way that Tester handled himself during this situation. You know, it's not just Democrats that were concerned about Ronny Jackson's nomination. And before the whole thing fell apart, there were a lot more Republicans that were telling us that they were uncomfortable with not only the accusations from his background, but also the fact that he just didn't lack the experience that was necessary to run the largest federal government agency that impacts the lives of tens of thousands of veterans across the country. You know, I talked to Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma the day before the nomination was pulled. He's a hardcore conservative, a pretty reliable supporter of the Trump administration. And he told me then that he didn't think the nomination was going anywhere. So this idea that somehow it was just John Tester's fault that Ronny Jackson wasn't the next Secretary of Veterans Affairs is just a fantasy, and it shows that the White House is just using it for political reasons.
Yeah, and last word on this, as far as I'm concerned, is that he wasn't qualified for the gig, and they could have made this easy by not going on with the vetting, but telling the president no. There's got to be somebody in President Trump's universe that goes, this is a disaster. We're not going to go down this road. I don't care if he looks good on TV, and I don't care if you like him. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So does he stay on the staff, or what do we know?
It looks it's increasingly looking more and more like he's probably going to end his government service. It's not definitive yet. It seems to be an untenable situation. He's already no longer the personal physician for the president. He's still working in the White House and the White House medical staff. But the problem is, the longer he stays in government service, the longer there's going to be the impetus of congressional investigators to continue to look into his background. So if Ronny Jackson really wants this to end, he's going to have to get out of government service and get out quickly, which to a certain extent is unfortunate for him because he was due for a promotion that would have been a pretty pedestrian approval from the Congress. He probably could have retired without all of these headaches. And, you know, I do think that these accusations against him, there isn't, you know, a ton of evidence to necessarily prove all of these things. And that's why I think there are many people that are just, you know, looking at the White House is really putting this guy in a really unfortunate situation because he just did not have the necessary credentials to be put up for this job. And now, you know, a life that he had built and put a lot of hard work into has basically just been thrown into upheaval. So it's an unfortunate situation on every front.
Yeah, and it's possible, kids, that both are true. It's possible that he wasn't a drunk driver, and it's also possible that he did improperly dispense pills and he did violate things. He certainly hasn't posed a vociferous rebuke to these charges against him as well. It's just, Ryan, if I rob a bank and you want to make me bank president, I'm probably going to say thanks, but no thanks. I just think if he knew there was trouble, I don't know why he didn't say no.
Yeah, and I think that they felt that, you know, in order to be the White House physician and the personal physician to three different presidents, that requires a pretty rigorous background check to get to that point. So I think that the White House just assumed that if he had gotten that far, that it wouldn't be that much more difficult to take the next step to an important job like that. And there's probably some truth to that, but I just don't think you really truly understand the level of vetting required for a cabinet secretary, especially in this political environment, till you actually put somebody into that job. And you would think now, you know, more than almost a year and a half into this administration, that the Trump administration would figure out, we better have these guys vetted backwards and forwards before we put them forward, right? Because it's just going to turn into another mess like this one then.
Ryan, I wanted to ask you about this migrant caravan. I mean, it's nothing new. 400 mm-hmm. migrants now arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border in Tijuana. They're wanting to seek asylum. I guess what makes it different this year, it's the largest caravan yet. About 1,000 people are walking north through Mexico. I guess President Trump now using this as on his campaign rally, asking people, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Almost chuckling about it. How has the Trump administration changed the asylum process, and will that affect these migrants this year, this time?
Well, they really, you know, Andrea, I mean, it's a great point. They really can't change the asylum process, right? I mean, it is it's codified in law. There is a way that we go about doing this. I guess the biggest thing that they've done is that they've put more lawyers and judges into these regions where the asylum seekers are coming to try and expedite this process a little bit more. And perhaps, you know, the Justice Department and Department of Homeland Security are pressing upon these lawyers that they want the bar set very high, that their interpretation of the law as to who exactly is allowed to have asylum, it's difficult for them to get in. This isn't just something we're going to pass everyone through. But I what's interesting, I think, about this whole scenario is, and I feel bad to a certain extent, because I think a lot of these people who came under very difficult circumstances for the right reasons are basically just being used as a public relations pawn, not just by the anti-immigration forces, but by the pro-immigration forces. You know, this migrant caravan is a very small fraction of the number of Americans that come into this country every year. And this type of person that attempts to gain access to the United States is a very small number of the overall a number of people that are coming over the border. But yet it's become this huge flashpoint because there are immigration advocates that want you to see these mothers with their children who are escaping these awful conditions. And then you have the president who wants to show these people climbing up walls and use that as an example of how our borders are porous. And these are, you know, he kept using the word illegal over and over again this weekend when describing this caravan. These people actually went up to the Border Patrol and declared themselves. They turned themselves in to Border Patrol to go through the asylum process. They're the furthest thing from illegal.
Right.
But I think this, yeah, I think overall this defines the problems with our immigration system and how no one seems to truly want to step back and say, okay, how do we figure this out so everyone benefits? It seems that everybody just wants to use it for their own political gain.
What's the big story being chased today?
Well, I think this week, you know, we got to see how everything shakes out with the president and North Korea. You know, we're going to set. He said over the weekend that that the meeting is going to happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks, which is a really rapid timeline, probably more than any of us thought earlier. And as much as I hate to navel gaze, I do think that there's going to be continued fallout from what happened at the correspondents' dinner over the weekend. You know, it's a little unfortunate, and I was there in the room when it took place because the goal of the dinner was to be a celebration of the First Amendment, and now all we have is it, you know, digressing into, you know, putting these two sides into their respective corners, and I feel like no one's benefiting from it. So, you know, I think you're going to hear the president continue to hammer on what he saw at the correspondents' dinner on Saturday night and use it as basically a club to beat the media with. Because I think, unfortunately, to a certain extent, that really played into his hands.
Yeah, it probably did. But again, it goes right back to how could you possibly criticize anyone for saying rude things about anyone? For the last 2 years, all we've seen is you do it over and over again in writing, in person, in front of crowds, and everywhere. Good God, the man needs a mirror. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Ryan Nobles, thank you, my friend.
That's true. All right, guys, have a great week. I appreciate it.
Over the weekend, the NFL draft. Couldn't help but notice the Bears had a particularly difficult to pronounce name. And I thought, well, Dave Bennett, John Weideman. I mean, these are the pros. But how difficult would it be to drop some of these draft names in to play-by-play? Dave Bennett's going to be put to the challenge every hour this morning. Again, now with a new segment I call Dave Bennett Tries to Pronounce Difficult to Pronounce Names from this year's NFL Draft in improv play-by-play.
The guy the Bears drafted goes by Iggy. So I can handle that.
As he should. Igbunaway?
Iebunaway.
Iebunaway. Iebunaway. Iebunaway. All right, Dave.
That's the one I'm going to pull out of here.
Pick a name.
Okay. All right, Mary.
They going shuffled. To the hat. He's picking the name out.
E.A. Booneyway is in on all these.
Oh, he took more than one.
Here. All right, pull one back. All right, who you got?
I got two of them. This is... God, I folded these up like crazy.
Dedrin Sinat, defensive tackle from South Florida, now with the Atlanta Falcons.
How'd you know that?
He went at pick number 90. 90 in the draft. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Bennett calls Dedrin Sinat in the NFL.
All right, the Falcons have seen a 28-3 lead diminish here in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady and the Patriots on the drive here. And now Brady's scrambling right, and he's hit by Dedrin Sinat. And down he goes. And the Falcons survive.
Very nice, Dave.
Well done. Make him pick another one.
No.
Yeah, pick another one. Go ahead, pick another one.
Crowd noise.
Pick another one.
You just wanted, that was too easy, too.
No, right? I just thought you nailed it, just like you did last time.
They're all defensive guys. Oh, here we go. Chukwuma Okorafor.
Excellent.
Offensive tackle from Western Michigan. I actually had him in a game two years ago.
Was he a Big Ten
against
guy?
North? No, he played at Western Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why it says Western Michigan.
Yes. And he was drafted by the Steelers.
Now, it's not easy to mention an offensive tackle in traditional play-by-play.
Oh,
they don't get a lot.
We can do this.
He went to the Steelers this weekend. Here's Dave and his new friend, Chukwuma Okorafor.
Chloroform?
Yes. Oh, chloroform.
First down for the Steelers. Roethlisberger has him up to the line. Le'Veon Bell, the running back. Hand off Bell. Tries the right side. Follows a block by Chukwuma Okorafor. And he bursts into the clear. For a big gainer for the Steelers.
Chukwuma.
I never would have said the guy's full name in that scenario.
I'm telling you, really well done, Dave. Very well done.
Thank you. We're starting to get the hang of this.
We'll continue with our new feature. Dave does hard-to-pronounce names for the 2018 NFL Draft and improv play-by-play.
Just one caveat here. You have to get Weideman on one morning to do, like, Czechoslovakian hockey player names.
In his sleep. Come on.
It wouldn't even be a challenge for him.
News next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well,
Dean Richards, I was listening to you yesterday, Dean.
Well, it's funny because I do a radio show on Sunday morning.
That's the one I was listening to.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And you were trying to pronounce the Bears' number one draft pick, you and the others. It's Joel Iyegbuniwe.
Correct. Sure.
Or you can call him Iggy.
So throughout the morning, we've been having Dave take funny names from the draft and put them in play-by-play. So before this is done, we're going to have Dave do another one for you, Dean, just for you.
Yves-te Akron K.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know who else Dean had on yesterday? Dean, I don't know if you know this, but yesterday you had on Kid Movie Reviewers.
I did.
And they were great.
I love bringing on the kids to the show because the kids love their Uncle Dean.
They do.
They were talking about the Avengers, which, if I have my numbers correct, made $1 billion this week.
$250 million in its opening weekend. It's now the biggest movie opening weekend ever, both domestically and worldwide, where it took in something like $630 million around the world, and it hasn't even opened in China yet. So,
is there a lot of people in China?
There are one or two. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they all like going to the movies there.
This comic book thing, who knew? Who knew? How long ago was the original Iron Man? Ten years?
10 years ago.
Okay, so go back 11 years ago.
Not that long ago.
12 years ago.
Well, whatever they said.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody was making comic book movies. Look at this.
They were making bad comic book movies. You know, there were scattered few. But Marvel and then Disney Company came in and bought them.
Now there's only two genres, comic book movies and horror films. That's it.
That's pretty much the truth. If you take out your dramas about a woman who falls in love with a sea creature.
That genre. That overdone category.
See, that won the Academy Award. We're going to see a ton of those this year. Wait till you see J-Lo in that sequel.
Yeah. J-Lo falls in love with a squid.
Based on a true story. You know, those kid critics, very nice, but then I go out to my car. My car is on milk crates afterwards.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not inviting the kids on
anymore.
I'm
not surprised. Stole your tires. Yeah. Saw it coming.
Did they have demands like juice boxes and chocolate chip cookies in the green room?
They were very demanding.
That's Dean's normal crew. Dave Schwann gets very cranky without a juice box. R. Kelly's in the news, the Daytime Emmys. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom had a cool little meeting over the weekend, which if you saw the picture of Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom surfing, not surfing, what's it called where you sail on a surfboard?
So, windsurfing.
It's windsurfing.
Yeah.
Yeah, how would it come up with that name? It was a bigger board than that. It was kind of like a boat, but Orlando Bloom's naked. Yeah.
Completely.
All over the internet with Katy Perry. Katy Perry not naked, Orlando Bloom naked. I had to avert my eyes. Okay. And Jesus so Christ Superstar.
Let's go naked windsurfing, and then, hey, I got an idea. Let's go meet the Pope.
That's the story when we come back.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Rick Shirley, entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
All right, back to Dean now. So Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom apparently still a couple.
I just looked up the story to which you refer.
Mm-hmm.
They met on Saturday. They met with Pope Francis. There was a conference going on, and I guess Katy Perry is way into transcendental meditation.
Okay.
And she spoke at this conference on transcendental meditation, but she and her on-again, off-again, currently on-again boyfriend, actor Orlando Bloom, met with the Pope, and they took a nice picture. But a few days before that, as Steve was pointing out, they went out windsurfing. And Katy is sitting on the windsurf board, and Orlando Bloom is, you know, like sort of on his knees behind her with the paddleboarding. They went paddleboarding.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the paddle, you know, and he's oaring away, you know, and Katy is in.
It's kind of tough to tell which one's the oar.
Katy's in a lovely kind of yellow and black checked bikini like thing. And he is wearing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. We can flip through these, wow. Andrea, just for research purposes, if you like.
Who hasn't done this?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why you have to windsurf naked. Is that a necessary part of it?
Yeah. I think that people, you know, this is in Italy. He's English. I think people in Europe are a little freer with
the
nudity,
the nakedness.
A little
drafty, isn't it?
If I can be,
yes, go ahead.
No, like Dave Bennett was calling the play-by-play with the football players.
Yeah.
If I could just, you know, Dean will appreciate this too, because we all appreciate art. Orlando Bloom in full nudity is kind of leaning over the windsurfing board. He kind of looks like Rodin's The Thinker, you know, in that garden, that big, beautiful strapping
sculpture.
This
one, he looks more like the Dinker.
Oh, wait, what?
It's just odd to me.
It's different for us.
It's very artsy. Mm-hmm.
It's
very
different.
Artistic.
Okay, so
in Europe, it's not that unusual.
I bet Mary Vanderbilt will back me up on this. I don't know that you guys will.
What's that?
I believe our sexual hang-up should be held on and embraced as tightly as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a great deal of danger. One time when I was in Greece, I went to the beach. I did not know that it was a clothing optional beach.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I did not, and I certainly would never, I would never, ever, ever do that.
Uh-huh.
I'm way too repressed. But I'm laying on the towel soaking in the rays, and I look over, and some guy's next to me, completely naked.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, completely, totally sunburned in places where you don't want to be sunburned.
Oh, come on.
Completely sunburned.
Oh, that's an SPF 200 as far as I'm concerned.
Hello, Dinimu.
And he probably needed some clothes on, too, I bet. Most of the ones that usually go
exactly right.
Naked are the ones that need the clothes.
Orlando's looking pretty good.
The international rule of vacations, right? You can tell people have just gotten to town on their vacation by the amount of clothes they wear.
Yeah.
And if you see somebody that really shouldn't be that naked in any state of nakedness, they've been there a week at least. Because each day you go, I'm on vacation.
Right.
I'm taking off more.
Right. You're full of wine.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject, but did you guys see Katy Perry on Idol last night?
Uh-uh.
Dressed up as Snow White.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on.
She is so bizarre. It was Disney night, apparently, and but nobody else dressed. You know, Luke Bryan didn't dress as well. Goofy showed up later, but it was just odd.
I want to know.
She did the voice too. They got a bit of voice
when she met the Pope. If she talked about her song, "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It."
Yeah, yeah. Would it be funny if the Pope asked her about it?
How was it?
That was one of my favorites.
Hey, you're going to hear me roar too.
That's good, dude.
All right, daytime Emmys. What do you got?
What was the big winner? Yeah, Days of Our Lives. Hmm. Who knew that it was even still on the air?
Apparently, there's two soap operas still on the air, right? That one in General Hospital.
Yeah. Apparently, Young and the Restless is also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm
I was
also
watching
told
it.
Days of Our Lives got me through my college days.
They took five awards last night. Steve Harvey won Best Talk Show Informative. The Talk won Best Talk Show Entertainment.
Really?
A Chef's Life won Outstanding Culinary Program. Sesame Street took Best Preschool Children's Show.
Well, of course it did. I've talked many times about Elmo and all the plot twists.
How many years has Sesame Street been on the air, do you think?
Almost 50.
49 years. Yeah. 49 years, to be exact.
I watched it. I used to love Sesame Street as a kid.
Well, later today, when I'm hanging out with Abigail, I'm guessing we're probably going to get together for another Elmo Watchathon.
Funny.
Say, Dean, why weren't the award show during the day? You know, daytime.
That does make sense.
Yeah, they should be on during the day.
That does make sense.
Exactly right, Joe. Yeah, Joe.
Get to the bottom of that, please, Dean. Thanks.
I got my team working on it.
Let's see what else I got here. Oh, Jesus Christ Superstar. You saw it?
I saw it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I like this show very much. I love the songs. I'm sure I've seen it 50 times. If I've seen it once through the years, I've seen lots of different incarnations. This one at the Lyric Opera is very ambitious. Something like 47 actors in this on stage with 37 musicians. You know, telling the story of the final days of Jesus and his apostles before the crucifixion. This one is done. It's done like with a millennial twist to it all. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, why does everybody on stage look like they work at Whole Foods?
They
you know
do.
What I mean?
They
They're
do worry they're not doing this.
Right? They've got that look to them. And the stage is very industrial looking. There really are no set changes or you know, things like that. It's one set that's like a multi-level, almost like tic-tac-toe board style setting in which they perform. But I'm looking at it and I go, Paul Linda Block. This looks like the Hollywood Squares.
Nice.
Also.
Dean, do you think if, had you not fallen in love with the John Legend Jesus Christ Superstar production, you maybe would be seeing this one a little differently?
Maybe. I might have, but I really, really, really try not to compare. When I'm reviewing one thing, I try not to compare it to another. I don't think that's fair. But we did just have that John Legend version, which I thought was pretty great. We also just had, about a year ago, a production of Jesus Christ Superstar at the Paramount Theater in Aurora that was amazing. It was so sleek and simple, yet so powerful and so moving. I think that's part of it as well. There are really good performances in here, really strong performances. Jo Lambert is the actress who plays Mary Magdalene and will send shivers down your spine when she sings. She's amazing. The actor who plays Judas's name is Ryan Shaw. He fills that role full of compassion. Honestly, and it seems funny to say this, but the weakest link of the three biggest performances in here is Jesus.
Watch your mouth.
Which, you know, is sort of the way this show is set up. You know, Jesus is almost a supporting role, ironically, in Jesus Christ Superstar. But this actor who plays him, Heath Saunders, you know, is very, very low-key for about 80% of the show. And it's not till the very end when he does his Gethsemane number, which is done like almost all the numbers are done like rock concert shows. They even hold old-fashioned, old-school, handheld microphones with cords on them.
It's a little weird.
When's the last time you saw a corded microphone anywhere?
Everything's a head mic.
But I think they usually use the microphones that are attached to their heads or cordless hand mics. And I think they were just trying to make it look like a rock show, or because the band is so loud and often drowns out the singers here, I think, you know, they needed microphones that could get a little closer to the mouths so the performers could be heard a little better. I think
sounds like a swing and a miss.
Maybe part of it. I think I liked it. I enjoyed it. I'm not at all going to say that it was bad. But I just thought that it was okay. They have an obsession with gold confetti in this show. I'm told that they use 90 pounds of gold confetti every single performance. And, you know, part of it, you can, you know, during explosive moments, the gold confetti is flying. But at the scene with the crucifixion, While the beating of Jesus is taking place, instead of a whipping or beating, they're throwing gold confetti at Jesus.
So it's kind of like a weekend at Trump's place in New York.
It seemed celebratory. It didn't seem crucifixion-like.
What'd you give it? What was your grade?
Some mixed messages. So I gave it B-.
How long was it, Dean? Was this a long one?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think with intermission, the whole thing was about 3 hours.
Okay.
You know, it's about average for a musical.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
It's at the Civic Opera House, Lyric Opera's production, until May 20th.
Time once again for our feature, and Dean, I'd like you to judge him. This is Dave Ennett does hard-to-pronounce names from the 2018 NFL Draft, which may or may not come up in his improv play-by-play. That's the name of the feature, Dean. And he will pick now from a hat. With the names in it.
Mary has been shaking this hat for like 2 minutes nonstop.
Steve, is this your hat? Because that's significant, because that could be a lot of names in there.
No, actually, it's a regular-sized human hat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's go to the names. And Dean, I'd like you to judge him again.
I love this music, by the way.
Okay, what have you got?
Oh, this isn't bad. He played in the national championship game. Sony Michel.
Running back out of the University of Georgia. Whenever you're ready.
Oh, but now he's in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's with the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Brady, back to throw. Brady swings it out. Sony Michel makes the catch at the 20 to the 15, breaks a tackle, cuts left at the 10 to the 5, touchdown Patriots.
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel.
Throw some gold confetti at him.
Dave said the NBA, but I think he meant the NFL.
What'd I say?
The NBA.
Yeah, the NBA.
Well, you know what I meant.
I know.
You know, I have to get into
character. I think you need to pick another one. Give him another one. Give him another one out of the hat. Come on.
Something with no vowels.
That one, the paper was crumpled.
Let's see what you got here.
Blame the paper.
Oh, this is a good one. You're going to like this. Falurunsu Fatukasi.
That's it. Defensive tackle out of the University of Connecticut.
Now
with the Jets, Falurunsu Fatukasi.
180th player taken in the draft.
All right, whenever you're ready.
All right. I'm going to go with the Patriots once again. All right, the snap to Brady. Brady looks to throw. Hit by Falurunsu Fatukasi. And down he goes. He takes down Brady for his first NFL sack.
Very impressive. Dean, your thoughts?
That is maybe the most best performance that I've seen all weekend long.
Best performance of the year.
Best performance. Best performance of the year. He should be in Avengers. He should be in the next version of
There's
Avengers.
There's no question.
Thanks,
we just
Steve.
Need the
no
gold
question.
Confetti now to come from the ceiling and,
right.
and
for
rain.
For no particular
onto,
reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, make it rain.
Rain,
no
rain down.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. All of that, including Falurunsu Fatukasi. Thank you, Dean. We're back with White Sox tickets after the headlines. Those are next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Come get it, baby. Yeah, I couldn't resist. It's 8:45, and we have Sox tickets in just a second. Do you have that clip from Let's Make a Deal? I want to play this for you. Here's a little awkward television for you the other day. You know the Let's Make a Deal show?
I love Let's Make a Deal. Or
Wayne Brady now is the host.
Yeah, I like the old version.
Okay, here's what I want you to picture. A couple dressed up in their Let's Make a Deal costumes, because everybody has to wear a costume. There's a couple, and then Wayne Brady picks it up from there. Right, well, listen.
How long have you guys been together?
About 6 months.
That's it? It's new. Oh, it's newish.
We're friends.
Can we talk about this not in front of everyone, Jessica?
I'm single.
It's complicated.
I'm single, guys. I'm single.
What?
Oh, no, no. We're really good friends.
So we have this. So this is...
So basically, it's like proposing and she says no.
Oh.
He got thrown into the friend zone. On nationally syndicated television.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't she have rolled with it just to get out of that?
How about when he said, let's talk about this later?
We've been together about 6 months. We're friends. We're friends.
Let's talk about this later.
Did you the part where she goes, I'm single and I'd like to mingle?
Yes. It was very bizarre.
I feel sorry for that dude.
Yeah, I do too.
But he should get a girlfriend. And I mean like a real one, not an imaginary one.
I wonder what the car ride was home for those two.
Not great. Not great at all. It is 8:46. And Joe, you have a question for these White Sox tickets. I'd like you to hear it. I know you know what it is. I'd like me to hear it. Go ahead and tell me what the question is.
All right. Matt Davidson set a record over the weekend in Kansas City. He now has the most home runs hit by an opponent at Kauffman Stadium in a single season. How many has he hit?
Is that right?
It's April, by the way, and he set the record.
How about that?
In fact, how many games did he do it in?
Okay, so you just bonus the question?
Yeah. Is that extra credit?
Well, no, it's extra credit. You don't get anything for it.
Who are you, Iggy Boonaway?
Right.
All right, so first correct answer, 312-981-7200. Did you have a Matt Davidson story for me?
I did. I was going to tell people that if they want to be amused, they should follow Matt Davidson on Instagram. He's MattDavidson_24. He's adorable, and he has two kids, and they're adorable. And the last post he did is with his son, Wake, hitting off a tee. And he's a little guy.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know where this guy has the energy, because he's a professional baseball player, but he's with his kids constantly. And he also
Hold on a second. He's a professional baseball player. Okay, he works 3 hours a day. It's like saying a stand-up comedian. How does he do it? He works 1 hour a day.
Right. Well, he's with his kids a lot.
Right.
But he posted a... You know how they have filters on all of the social medias now?
Yeah.
And so him and, I believe, Super Joe told me the guy's name is Trace... A player.
Trace Thompson.
He and Trace Thompson wearing the sunglass filters. This is what the guys are doing on the planes when they're traveling.
Sure, so. They're having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, you had to talk to each other. Yeah. Now you can just mess around with filters on apps.
Yeah,
right?
So it's all the players with the apps. So
getting it done. That's on Instagram?
On Instagram. MattDavidson_24.
By the way, I'll tell you another great follow on Instagram. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch. Oh! He's nuts.
It's just Davidson and Jason Benetti are doing a podcast together. Very entertaining. It's called No Direction.
How come we don't have Davidson on? Let's get Davidson on.
Yeah, let's
do it. Get him on.
Yeah. All right, Joe, ask the question one more time.
Matt Davidson set a record over the weekend in Kansas City. He now has the most home runs hit by an opponent at Kauffman Stadium in a single season. How many has he hit?
And Dave, your complicated addition?
In how many games did he accomplish this?
All right, Chris is in Joliet. Chris, go ahead.
The answer is he hit 7 home runs.
7 home runs in how many games?
You want to know how many games?
Yes.
Oh, is that part of it?
It is now.
I'd say he still wins.
No, you win anyway, but just take a shot.
Well, I would say 25.
Well, no, it's games against Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh, how many games against Kansas City?
Yeah.
120.
All right, hold on a second.
He wins no matter what.
He wins.
Just
no, absolutely wins.
Throw him a loop.
Because it's just home runs.
And it's just this month.
This month.
Well, just this season, which is March and April.
See, you threw this curve at Chris. Chris was killing it.
Oh, Chris
and
is
now
great.
Chris
no,
from
I have
Joliet
no problem
didn't
with
understand
Chris.
The question.
I was just
Chris,
thinking,
you're a winner. Hang on,
yeah,
bud.
Chris
Poor
wins.
Joe, you just stole the thunder from his trivia.
You're like the guy that walks in at the end of a math quiz and goes, who wants more calculus?
4 games.
Oh, I knew it. I held up 4.
Matt Davidson set the record over the weekend, 7 home runs in 4 games. It's pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Chris is on the line going, where's my tickets?
Chris, for the abuse you're taking, you get 4 tickets to the White Sox and the Twins Sunday, May 6th, 1 week from Mother's Day, next Sunday. Sunday, May 6th, 1:10 start. Going to be a beautiful day at Guaranteed Rate Field for you, 3 friends, and the White Sox. I'm guessing you're not going to get an invite, Professor.
I might just go on my own. It's a 4-game series with the Twins.
Every Monday, Super Joe has a new Sox question to ask you. Hey, Super Joe, the boys looked a little better this weekend.
Giddy up.
3 out of 5.
Pitching looks better. Offense is coming around.
It looked like it was going to be 5 out of 5, then they hit the wall Saturday night. But 3 out of 5, we'll take that.
Absolutely, we will.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
In a world where it's hard to find the truth anymore. Here's something that doesn't fit really anywhere else in the show. BestLifeOnline.com. 30 facts that you always thought were true that aren't true.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Carrots improve your vision.
Is that true?
Nope.
Good. I don't really like carrots.
I love carrots.
Beta carotene in carrots can convert to vitamin A, which can, in some cases, improve your vision. But once your body has enough beta carotene, it no longer makes that conversion.
Oh.
So in other words, you've been strapping a couple of carrots to your eyeballs.
But it doesn't hurt to eat carrots.
No.
It won't hurt your vision.
No, it's
just won't help.
It's
it.
Fine.
Eat too many, you turn orange.
That's true. That's totally true, what she said. That's true.
Maybe that's what happened to you-know-who.
Carrot Top?
No.
Oh, Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Okay. Going out with wet hair makes you sick.
No.
That's not true.
Not true. Colds and flu caused by a virus, not by wet hair. However, you said although.
Although, Doc Most one time said going to bed with wet hair can give you headaches.
I think he said your pillow will be wet.
That too.
It's uncomfortable to sleep in. You only use 10% of your brain. True or not true?
I bet that's true.
I hope you use more than that. What's the rest do?
Depends on who you're talking to.
Man or woman. No, I'm kidding.
You basically use all of your brain, but not all at once. You feel like you're only using 10% of your brain. You're probably using 10%
of your brain.
Yes. How about this one? With little kids, sugar makes you hyper.
Yeah, yes. I would say that's true.
I always thought that was true. No.
No, it doesn't. I forgot what does.
Well, I'm going to explain it to you. Yeah. Children running around like lunatics at a birthday party are just excited. Now, sugar's not necessarily good for you. It's still linked to obesity, diabetes, cavities, and sugar and stuff. But sugar is not directly linked with children acting like little knuckleheads.
Because it's usually served in an excitable situation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I read that in Reader's Digest. Is that what you're reading?
I am not.
Were you at the doctor's office reading it?
I am not.
No.
About swimming after eating will give you cramps.
I always thought that was true. You're supposed to wait an hour, right, after you eat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was
not true.
Nope.
Oh, you're kidding.
There are literally known incidents of a person drowning because they went to in for a dip after a big lunch.
So all those times when you were a kid where you sat there and sweltered, you could have been in the pool the whole time.
You had to watch everybody else.
Absolutely.
I wonder where that came from.
Well, the first kid that jumped in the pool after eating a lot of food and said, my tummy hurts.
Yeah. Probably just threw up.
Or parents who wanted a break for an hour.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Didn't have to watch the kids.
Here's one that will please you, Dave.
Yes.
Alcohol kills brain cells. Not true.
Oh, yes. David, look at you.
Regular drinking doesn't kill brain cells. The damage caused by heavy drinking isn't caused by cell death, just by damage. So you're not killing brain cells by being a lush.
There you go.
If I were a lush, I guess that would mean more to me.
I'd like to dedicate this last one. We'll see if we can get to more of these next hour. But this last one to my friend Dorothy the Goldfish from Elmo's World.
Oh, yeah.
Goldfish have a short memory. Like, you know, you swim, go, well, there's a new side of the bowl. And you turn and say, hey, I've never been over here before. Then you swim and go back and go, hey, check out the view. This is new. Then you swim back and go, hey, has anybody seen what I'm looking at? No. Turns out a goldfish can actually remember things for 5 months.
Oh.
Five months.
It's an eternity.
And how do we know that? Did a goldfish testify?
Yeah, Dorothy.
Dorothy
from Elmo's World. Yeah.
My goddaughter won a goldfish at the church picnic 5 years ago. No, 3 years ago.
Yeah, they last
this goldfish
a long time.
Is three. It, this fish is huge. It looks like a piranha. It's so big.
Well, it's probably not a goldfish. It's probably a piranha.
I know. I can't believe it lasted that long.
Didn't the afternoon show have a fish that was making NFL picks?
Yeah, the one in the newsroom.
It died. Shh, don't bring it up.
Peace.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to
Klaus,
that fish?
Klaus died.
The fish. Well, what happened? The
was
big
the fish
scandal?
German?
Why
no,
was
we,
no
we
the big
it.
Scandal was that this is. It was, I think, Violetta's fish, mm-hmm. and the fish died on, a Friday or Saturday. And then when they came back on Monday, the fish was gone. It just the water had been
sleeping
empty.
With the fishes.
Yeah, literally was sleeping with the fishes. So they don't know how the fish died. Well, we probably can assume how the fish died or what happened to the fish.
I wonder if it was murder.
We had to do the body removal early in the morning.
I bet
before everybody got here.
Ever tell that story when Amy?
Oh, someone just fessed up.
Amy Cochran had like three goldfish. She's 3, 4 years old. She goes out of town with her mom. And I'm taking care of the goldfish. I overfeed them and they die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm petrified. Oh, she's gonna be so upset. I don't want to make my little girl cry. I finally tell her after like a day. She goes, "It's okay. I didn't like them anyway."
Yeah.
And she walked out of the room.
I thought you were gonna say you went to the pet store and bought three more. Remember how you'd go buy fish when you were a kid?
One of our kids' fish died, and we went. Orangey the fish died, and we had to go buy.
What's with you and Orange?
I don't know.
We need a break. Hi, CLTV. Welcome. Thanks for being here. And we are back with the news next in the 9 o'clock hour at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 9:12 now. We continue with show number 1135. Kathleen Madigan, brilliant Friday night.
Yeah.
With my son Ross. And then yesterday, Abigail Grace, brilliant in her first trip to Topgolf.
Mm-hmm. She liked it.
I play golf balls.
There you go.
Yeah, when you're two, you get to scream.
Did she get a little, did you get her a little driver yet or anything? She can.
I'm having her custom fit with a complete set today.
Nice.
Yes. Because you can't start too early.
Nope.
Uh-uh. Nope. At 9:13, our friend Deborah Norville standing by from Inside Edition. That was the theme music. This is Deborah. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you very much.
You had a busy weekend, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, it was kind of nice, though.
Kick back a bit?
Did not go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Did you ever go to that?
Oh, yeah, I've been to it.
I never have. I'm told you can't even move, like there's so many people in the room.
It's ridiculously crowded, but you kind of scratch your head and ask yourself, what exactly is going on? To me, personally, it sort of jumped the shark many years ago when celebrities started coming that were famous for bizarre and sometimes troubling reasons, like the couple that crashed the White House party when the Obamas were living there. And do you really want to celebrate that kind of behavior by inviting those people? And when porn stars come, it was one thing when heroic soldiers who had lost body parts in Afghanistan were brought and feted. It seemed a little weird when some of these tabloid stars started coming. So I was happy not to be there and apparently missed quite a hair-spinning rendition from Miss Wolf as she was the entertainment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll back up, you know, it's ironic, right? The things about free speech. I'll back up comedians, you know, left and right. I mean, that's what I've done most of my life as well. And you're right to tell a joke. Yeah. I don't understand the need to go after someone's personal appearance when they don't have an opportunity to hit back. Now, having said that, what Sarah Huckabee Sanders does every day at that press briefing to the media in this country is way worse than anything that happened Saturday night. But I'm not defending Saturday night. I didn't think, you know, she wasn't funny. She wasn't funny, and maybe the comedian thing needs to go away.
Yeah, well, some people are thinking the whole thing needs to go away, and we'll be discussing that a little bit on Inside Edition, you know, what the reaction is, what was said, what, you know, who's saying what now, and regrets on Monday morning after Saturday night, and that kind of thing.
I got a couple things here for you I got to ask about the show today. Well, I see the headline, "Will Your Dog Protect You?" Well, of course. My dog always protects me. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, you are. And we actually aired that on Friday. I don't mean to.
Oh, I thought that was today. I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at the wrong list.
That's okay. Yeah, we aired that on Friday, and people exactly thought that their dogs were going to protect them, and the biggest dogs were the biggest wimps. A lady who had, like, a little yipey chihuahua. The chihuahua did the right thing. We had a guy come in dressed up like he was a bandit and pretend to be assaulting the homeowner. And in the case of the largest dogs, who looked the fiercest, they were the biggest babies. They ran and couldn't get out of there fast enough. The little yipey ones tended to protect mommy better. So that was kind of a good thing. What we've got today is a different story, but I'm sure you've seen this commercial, the Flex Glue commercial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the
Flex Steel, right?
Like, yeah. Well, it's Flex Seal. This one's called Flex Glue. There's Flex Tape. There are all these different ways of sealing stuff. But this one is the one where it's the glue that looks like it's a type of caulk. And in the commercial, they glue some cement blocks together. They literally build a dune buggy and then drive it. So we did exactly what they did in the commercial. So today at 3 o'clock on Channel 7, you will see that our person did not die when she drove the dune buggy we built.
But again, that's what interns are for.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, we don't do this to our interns. There's laws, I think, that prevent it. They can't do it to our interns anymore. But we do it to our correspondents, and Lisa didn't die. But we learned some very important things, which is why you have to watch the story today, because if you do it the way we did it the first time, you will probably get the result we had, which was it didn't work. So there's some finer points to the application and curing process, which you need to be aware of.
Is that the one where the guy is hanging from the beam and he has the construction hat on and they put the glue
on super
the hat?
Glue.
Oh my God, I said
that was
flex glue.
Kind of the same thing, but that commercial, that's an old commercial from when we were little. This is the modern nude version of it, but yeah, it's the same deal. They take a bunch of cement blocks and glue them together, and then they have the thing lift a 1,000-pound barbell. And you see how effectively it holds. And then they literally build a dune buggy and seal the connection joints with this flex glue stuff. And so we did the same thing. When Lisa drove it, everything seemed to go fine. Then we had an official race car guy, a guy who does this for a living, and he put it through the paces. He didn't die, but the car was not in great shape. So you got to watch. Pretty interesting.
It always seems to stick to your hands, though.
Today at three.
Today at three on Inside Edition, and as usual, Inside Edition, killing it here. Hey, I got to ask you about the Brokaw story. You know, I mean, you don't know unless you know. But Tom Brokaw's the last guy I would expect to be in a situation like this. I don't know. I'm just kind of speechless.
Yeah, all I can say is my career at NBC News flourished in no small part because of encouragement and overt acts by Tom Brokaw. Linda Vester worked there part of the time I was there, and it breaks my heart to think that she may have experienced something very different from what I experienced. So it's very sad all around.
It needs to be investigated, and there needs to be an answer. But the problem, that's out there now, obviously, is you're judged very quickly. The internet gets up in the morning and starts judging. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the retractions stick anymore, do they?
Well, I think one of the challenges in this one in particular, and from what I understand, Ms. Vester spoke up because she felt that the process that NBC was going through in investigating, as I put quotation marks around that word, the allegations and the culture at the network in the wake of the Matt Lauer firing was flawed in that NBC is doing it itself. The general counsel of the network is handling the investigation. And I can tell you from the business side of my life, when these kinds of allegations come up, the appropriate and generally agreed upon method is to have an outside entity investigate this, because it sends the message to everyone that we take this seriously. We know there could be a challenge to credibility if we underwent this process ourselves. So we're going to write whatever big fat checks we have to write to the outside law firm and ask them to handle this. And we will take a hands-off approach to this. And whatever they find, they will share it, and we will all learn it at the same time.
Yeah, she's not wrong about that.
That's not what NBC's done. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the generally accepted standard. NBC has chosen to investigate it on its own for reasons that I'm sure they think are very valid. But that seems to be part of what inspired Ms. Vester to speak up and say, I don't think that this is the process, that this is the way the process should be handled. And it's if that's the reason Brokaw's reputation is now being besmirched as it is, then if NBC would have gone outside to handle this investigation, perhaps he would not be feeling threatened as he does right now.
The equal anger in their direction. Deborah Norville, by the way, go to InsideEdition.com anytime. The website's terrific with lots of stuff that you may have missed on the show, or stuff that doesn't make the show that makes the website, things of that nature. I know you got to run.
That's what's so great about the web. We don't have, we only get 30 minutes on the TV show, and we always have so much great stuff. I'm like, let's put it on the web so the people can see it there.
Yep. All the best. All right, thank you.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
You too. Deborah Norville, Inside Edition. So, Dave, your dog's not going to protect you. Oh, no, your dog's little.
Oh, yeah, my dog's little. My dog has his bark is much bigger than his bite would be. He's got a ferocious bark. And it's a different bark when one of us comes home or there's a stranger in the driveway. He's got this, take it to
another
level.
The killer bark.
Yeah, it's really, it would scare me away.
I never put that much faith in the dogs, to be honest. And I have dogs my whole life until the past couple of years, really. But I did have a pet rhinoceros for a while, because if you have pet rhino, nobody's coming in.
No one's going to mess
with it. Nobody's coming in. It's amazing. They look in the front window of the house, and there's a pet rhino sleeping on the couch. I mean, that's going to make people back off.
And the food bill alone.
It's a lot. Not going to lie to you, it's a lot. No. 922, back with more of this show. Steve Cochran, CLTV at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I should never have opened this list. Now I'm fascinated by this list. I can't get my eyes off this list. This list I started right before the top of the hour about things you thought were true that aren't true. Now I'm fascinated. I can't let it go.
These things are not true? Well, because the ones you read before turned out they weren't true. But
maybe they're true, maybe they're not.
Okay, that's
like the carrots with the eyes.
Bananas are fruit.
I always thought bananas are fruit, yes.
Yeah, me too.
Bananas are berries.
No way.
Mm-hmm. How about tomatoes a vegetable?
Oh, no, wait. That's not true. Tomatoes are fruit.
Tomatoes are fruit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How could a banana be a berry?
Good, Steve.
You have to explain.
No, I don't. Albert Einstein failed math. I never heard that.
No, I never did
either. That's true.
He did fail a college entrance exam.
No, thank you.
That seems to have spawned the rumor, but it was only part of math. He actually passed the math section on the test that accompanied it.
Ah, okay. Big difference.
Well, E doesn't equal MC squared, right?
Not in my world. The Great Wall of China is visible from space.
That's true.
Without a little help, the Great Wall isn't visible by the human eye from low Earth orbit. It is definitely not visible from the moon. Toilets flush in different directions in different hemispheres.
That is true.
That is true.
Because when I was in Australia, I remember Spike made me take a picture of the toilet flushing. And it goes the other way.
Toilets flush the same direction in Australia as they do in Austria. The only thing that changes direction is the shape of the toilet and the angle the water enters into it.
I'm telling you, the water flushed the other way.
What do you want from me?
I saw it.
I'm looking at the facts right
now. Oh, yeah. From the internet?
The internet's never let me down. Right. From bestlifeonline.com. Cracking knuckles will cause arthritis. Anybody on the show a good knuckle cracker?
I hate that.
My That's son does it all the time.
Thing. And you know what's even more annoying is when people take one finger at a time and crack it. It's disgusting. No one wants to listen to that.
When you pull the fingers?
Yeah, when you go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Are you a knuckle cracker?
I'm a big knuckle cracker, and I crack my hips, my knees, my ankles. And sometimes when we're watching TV, I'll start doing it, and then I can tell that...
You know, you could be dead by the weekend, just based on this habit.
Is it going to give me arthritis, though?
Cracking your knuckles will not cause arthritis, according to a study published in the Journal of American Board of Family Medicine, but it will freak out your friends and family.
Yeah. A former producer here on the show, Mike Jacobson, sometimes I would crack my hips in the studio, in the producer booth, and he would yell at me. He didn't.
Why do your hips crack?
I don't know. They've always cracked. No, even when I was in high school, I don't know. That's just...
You ever go to a chiropractor?
Yeah.
And what do they tell you? Are you out of line or something?
No, they crack me. I like being... My sister was a gymnast. She used to always crack our backs when we were little. I like being cracked.
But you have a particularly noisy crackage?
Yeah, I can crack. I'll show you.
You can crack with the best of them?
I don't know how to organize this mic to go to my hip bone, so I will...
You know what we'll do? We'll talk to engineering, and we'll have you wired.
There you go.
We will actually have you wired.
Yeah. Rewired.
Alcohol warms you up. True or not true?
True.
No, not because true. They tell not you, true. Like, if you're going to a Bears game and it's 10 below zero, they say...
Don't drink alcohol.
I'm not saying the Bears say this, but they say it's bad for you.
No, so, the Bears would like you to drink more.
Yeah, that's why.
So you can't use your flask.
To make money, but you should not be
alcohol will make
alcohol.
You feel flushed, and you'll need to flush, but it slows down your circulation, actually makes you colder.
Ah.
Yeah. Germs live on toilet seats.
True.
Yeah.
Awful.
Many organisms that cause disease can only live on a toilet seat for a very short period of time, mere seconds.
Really?
And unless you're doing something weird in there, odds are you're not coming in contact with the germs that others would have been left behind.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
So we don't need those stupid seat covers. That people
I just hate public bathrooms.
You have to use those or toilet paper. You can't just sit on the plain toilet.
I'm with the Ray Romano theory. Ray Romano, everybody loves Raymond, would rent hotel rooms when he was driving in the car just to use the bathroom.
Right.
And then he'd be, he'd go into like a Motel 6 or a Red Roof Inn or in his case, maybe a Ritz.
Yeah.
And he'd rent the room, full price.
Use the bathroom
and leave.
Yeah.
Coffee dehydrates you.
I think that is true.
That is true.
It's a mild dehydrating effect of caffeine, but it's offset about the amount of water in a cup of coffee, and it actually hydrates you.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Coffee Aid? It's like Gatorade. It's a different color. Takes 7 years to digest gum.
That's false.
Are you sure? What grade are you in?
Why, are you supposed to swallow it?
Gum actually isn't digestible at all. Same as the fiber in popcorn kernels. It passes through your body without being digested.
Okay, so there you go. So it just goes in and out.
No, you're not trying to swallow it, but sometimes it happens.
That was the rumor when we were kids. Yeah, if you take 7 years to digest gum.
Frightened ostriches stick their heads in the ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No?
Ostriches keep their eggs in a hole in the sand instead of nests, and they use their beaks to move them around. They're not afraid of anything. They're friggin' ostriches, man.
Yeah. That's not how you say that. They're ostriches, man.
A duck's quack doesn't echo. I've never heard that before.
Hey, well, we can find out in the top 6 at 6 every day.
Right.
With our quacks.
Ask the Aflac duck.
The quacking of a duck, same as any other sound. It echoes if it's at a place where an echo would work, yes. And Mount Everest is the tallest mountain.
No.
Why do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think it's true, isn't it?
Mount Everest is the tallest mountain above sea level.
Oh.
But the tallest mountain from base to peak is Mauna Kea in Hawaii, which is nearly a mile taller than Mount Everest.
Really?
19,700 feet of Mauna Kea is underwater.
Whoa. Who knew?
It's almost 4 miles of a mountain underwater.
That'd be hard to climb.
Where's Mount Kilimanjaro in there? Is that on the list?
It's not on my list.
Okay. I was just curious. Because isn't it the big mountain everyone tries to climb?
All right, I'm done being fascinated. No, I'm done now.
Those are good.
We need a break. Back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And I'll be everything that I want to be. I am confidence and insecurity. I am a voice.
All right, 9:45, Patty Vasquez here. How are you?
I'm a female comic who is a little bit nervous on a Monday morning.
What are you nervous about?
This is when what people don't consider is that when they hire a comic and...
You're talking about the White House correspondent.
I am. This often has a backlash against not just comics, but then about women.
Sure.
Always being dirty. We can't be funny without being nasty. And I'm just uncomfortable with the fact that Michelle Wolf was hired at all for this event. It's like getting mad at Gallagher because he smashes watermelons. Oh, he made a mess.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, right, it's right. Like you hire somebody, you hire a pit bull.
You hire and you own it.
Yeah. So it was.
She's got specials on, I think it's Showtime now.
Oh, this is going to be huge for her career.
But I mean, she's got a special on Showtime, so you can actually vet her act. You don't need to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's.
It's over. They don't need to hire comedians for this anymore.
But that's
comedian gets hammered.
But that's why it makes me so upset, because it's going to go out on a female comic. It's going to go down in flames because she crossed.
So you'd like to see one more failed male?
I would like to see. I would like to see somebody else.
Right. Well, let's pick the guy we'd like to see go down in flames.
Let's go ahead and make that list. But I was like, oh no, because I do a lot of events where they'll tell me that they almost didn't hire another comic because they were terrible. And I just did an event for the Chicago Indiana Club. It's like expats from Indiana who live in Chicago. The governor of Indiana was there. They didn't tell me what to say or not to say. I know what's I know what I like to do as far as a
know
comic.
Your audience.
Right.
Know your audience. And they were glad that they had gone with one more comic because it had gone so badly few times.
It's always great when somebody hires you and goes, well, we almost weren't going to do this because the last one sucked. Yeah, it happens all the time.
That doesn't get in your head at all. I'm fine.
We got some leftover terrible birthday presents from Friday. This is when Trump wanted to talk about how he hosed Melania and didn't get her anything. So this is in honor of Melania.
Sure.
331 floor mats for my car. Oh boy, was he in tune with me. Divorced 30 years.
But you can hose those down, speaking of getting hosed.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 630, my birthday, August 17th. My ex got me a snowmobile helmet. I didn't like snowmobiling, and it didn't fit. Let's see. For my 50th, my ex gave me a canary. Red one. A red canary. A red canary. Specifically used genetics to breed the red canary. The cage, the toys cost more than the stupid bird.
Oh, God. I wouldn't think a bird would be a great present anyway.
Unless they're already a bird person.
Right.
That's like the
again, if
a
it's
thing.
If it's unusual, they have to ask for it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, in a living creature, you also have to know that someone wants
it. Yeah, it's a canary.
You know, despite...
Oh, okay. Open the back door. You're good.
Do you know, despite what you guys think about us, we are somewhat easy to read.
Oh, stop.
No, we are. We'll tell you. Like, at some point, like jewelry, diamonds.
No, we got to listen. Yeah. You do have to listen. That's where men fail. You have to listen. Because you do reveal.
We do.
You do reveal what you want. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if you just said what you want, but you reveal what you want.
We want you to know us. We trust you. And then we're wrong.
And then you
prove us wrong.
Yeah.
312 jewelry store window pointed out three beautiful rings, one ugly one. He got the ugly one.
Well, why'd you point out the ugly one? Yeah.
That's because that's the one she didn't want him to get.
That's a weird test.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me. You'll see her at the meeting. Straighten her out.
I'll do my best.
630, I was casually dating a guy, and for a combination Christmas birthday present after we weren't dating very long, he got me a bathroom scale and a whip.
Oh!
Wow! Oh, my God.
How do these two things go together?
I don't know, but when he wants you to stand on the scale, you better use that whip.
Yeah. Holy cow. Go back, though. Combination gifts, I don't think ever a good idea. Even if your birthday is on Christmas, you should get two separate gifts.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
You can't go, sure. Oh, here's one, and it counts for three different things.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Agree.
Yeah.
815, my six-year-old daughter gave me a card and a picture of Darth Vader, and in it she wrote, Father, I am your daughter. That's cute.
That's that is really cute.
That's cute. Pretty clever for six.
262, I made a rose petal trail to our sink full of dirty dishes and gave the picture to my husband. Yeah, that's not bad.
Passive-aggressive.
Just a bit. Yeah. It's because men like to let the dishes soak.
And 765.
Soaking is not an action.
It's not a done thing.
No. Some scrubbing involved in rinsing.
And the amount of time it takes to soak the dishes mm-hmm. is the same amount of time it would take to rinse the dishes and put them in the dishwasher.
Steve, you got to loosen it up. You got to loosen that stuff up. But over the course of a week, how much more is going to happen? I'm just curious.
You know the new dishwashers? You don't even need to rinse anything off.
That's right.
You just throw them in.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Yeah. 765, for my birthday, my husband bought me a pill splitter from Walgreens.
They still make those?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. They do.
Yeah. Okay. A little blade, you just pop it down.
You might even know someone who owns one.
Oh, I do. Cochrane.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you very
much. How's the show?
It's very good. I, you know, I'm always starting off by coming down here in the morning, and I on the way here, I think I've thought of a new app for traffic. It's going to be like the cabbie's daughter, is what I'm going to call it, and I'm going to tell
you how
to get.
You're a cabbie's daughter.
I'm a cabbie's daughter,
yeah.
And I'm going to teach people how to get to downtown Chicago using because my dad would always take shortcuts, so it would, you know, take a right on Barry over here, Pat. Hey, Pat, you know what? Take a shot down this alley, and I'm going to have directions that way for you.
You
got
to have the courage to get off the path.
You have to get, I mean, but I don't want to tell people which way to go right now on the Kennedy because you can't have my path right now. It's when I'm not going to be on the street.
But there is a general direction thing.
You're like good.
Oh, yeah.
Waze.
Because
Waze is like a bad.
Like Waze.
No, Waze used to be, when Waze first came out, though, it was really good. And then it took you around the block. And then it was like, it's like a breakup. You go back to Waze, and then you...
You broke up with your app?
Well, then I went back and kind of got
screwed
again.
Well, there's construction on Milwaukee near Belmont, and it had me going down Belmont. And I was like, forget about this. I'm going to take a right over here, take a left, go around a block.
Isn't it like a corn maze? You get to a block, you turn left or right, and you get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I don't want people to use my path necessarily when I'm on those streets.
You know what you should do?
Have the whole thing shut down while I'm on the road.
On Patty Vasquez experience, 11 p.m. tonight and every night.
Actually, I'm in for John Williams today from 1 to 3.
That's my point. Oh, You're in for John Williams today at 1. Reveal your secret path then.
That's fair.
See?
Just no heads up so that people aren't...
It's a good tease for the show.
You know, can I give Patty props too? Patty and I were at an event. We did this radio recess, the archery, with you, Dave. And So I drove Patty back to the city because we were both coming back to the city, and I said, I have to make a quick stop at Costco. So Patty and I went shopping, basically. I said, do you want to come inside? She's like, yeah, do you mind? I said, yeah sure.
Well, what was she going to do, sit in the car?
She's the best person ever to shop with. She knows where everything is. I'm like, oh, I need, you know, turkey meat. Oh, at the back of aisle 3, the third shelf down. She knows. She's like a savant when it
comes
to
Costco. Do you guys
go to
the same Costco?
That's my Costco that she stopped at. Yeah, that's why.
I said, oh, I need the milk. They must have moved it. Yeah, there's a brand new room over here down to the left, past the eggs, past the romaine lettuce, which
is,
don't eat
is
that.
Is every Costco set up the same way? I don't know.
No,
I can't go to the one over off of, what is it, Elston, I think? I can't go to on Clybourne. I can't go to that.
Throws you off completely.
Oh, yeah, and then I go back to mine and I'm completely
but
turned around.
This kind of goes to your shortcuts and whatnot. Yeah. You know where everything is. It's crazy.
And I think there should be a law. Like Jewel should be set up the same way in every store.
Yeah.
Yeah, any store, any Jewel where the produce is to the left instead of the right, I walk back out of. I'm like, no, I can't. This
can't
is wrong.
Have it.
No,
yeah, a lot of Jewels are backwards.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go shopping with Patty. I'm telling you, you'll be in and out in 5 minutes.
The service you're providing?
What was this?
Service you're providing?
Cabby's daughter?
Shopping with Patty?
I think it's all Cabby's Shopping? Daughter. Yeah. This is going to be my app.
Why did Andrea need 10 pounds of turkey meat?
No, I just needed some turkey meat.
Yeah, but you, how do you buy like anything less
than... She was
than...
actually going to an event that night, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were going to a party.
I was going to a party. See, and you remembered. I was going to a party that
See, if you're not, then if you're Greek and you go into some place and you don't have enough food, you just go to Costco?
And get like a pound of...
Exactly.
Or 10 pounds.
How great is this? 47 pounds of licorice. They'll love this.
Be generous.
And stick around because you're about to help us judge Dave Enett.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow. He looks very uncomfortable about that.
Yeah, no, not really. No.
Yes. And Bill O'Reilly coming up, 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Patty Vasquez here, and you were stalking your kid in D.C.?
Yes, my son was on a
Bill
field trip
Wendy
in D.C.
Are with us as well.
I was not chosen as a chaperone, so I decided that I wanted to still go on the trip, and I stalked him all over Washington, D.C.
And I was good for you.
Sounds like a show.
It was amazing. Mm. It was the most fun I've ever had.
Where'd you get busted?
Pretty much right away. I actually walked right into the middle of their field trip at Reagan International Airport, and then I got caught at the FDR Memorial.
And the Griffin got that's my mom.
Yeah. No, he doesn't pretend like I wasn't there. I texted him a few times, like, get off your phone and enjoy your trip. He'd like look around. I'm like,
I'm right behind you. This is the Lincoln Memorial.
He asked me one time, where are you? And I said, I'm right behind you. And he goes, we're on a bus. And I'm like, oops, wrong kid.
You may be worse than me. I finally found the woman who's worse than me.
It was
well, what's
amazing.
The term? The helicopter parent, what are you?
Crazy.
Oh, all right.
I think just crazy.
Okay.
Looney Tunes.
Hey, we need your help on this.
Okay.
Is the hat still in front of you?
Yes, it is.
All right, Bill, I think you'll appreciate this more than Wendy, but you both may appreciate it. I've chosen the most difficult to pronounce names from the NFL draft.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
And Dave will now put them into play-by-play in a new feature I'm calling Dave Puts Difficult to Pronounce Names in Play-by-Play.
Love the title.
He's done a great job
today. I'm not letting Dave pick.
The name's been chosen.
Oh, all right, the name's been chosen. Pass it over to Dave.
All right, there you go.
All right, Dave, what is it?
Oh, dear.
Now, this isn't a bad one at all.
What is it?
Pick another one.
Pick another one.
All right.
No, what is it? What's that one?
Nick Chubb.
Oh, that's too
Nick
easy.
Chubb.
No, Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
Chubb. By the way, get to a clinic. Telling him.
That's what I thought it might be in there.
Maybe you should do two names.
I'd like to meet him.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea.
This is a good one.
What's that one?
This is a good one. Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver with the Green Bay Packers out of Notre Dame.
Oh, I thought it was Equanimeous, and I thought it was something.
Equanimeous.
It sounds like someone I'm related to.
It's a muscle
country.
You would tear.
Yes.
Equanimeous.
You're right.
St. Brown,
it is Equanimeous.
Wide receiver, Notre Dame.
Yes.
207th pick went to the Packers. Dave, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers has the Packers on the Bears' 15-yard line. Just 3 seconds left. Green Bay looking to pull this out. Here's the snap. Rodgers looking to throw, going to the end zone for Equanimeous St. Brown in the corner of the end zone, drops the ball, and the Bears win.
Oh, I love it, Dave.
Incredible.
Ding, ding, ding.
Good job.
Where's the bell?
Incredible.
Well done.
It's broken.
It's broken. Dave isn't.
He broke it.
You know what, Dave? The good news for you is we've got about 40 names I haven't gotten to today,
yes.
So we may revisit this tomorrow.
Well, I think it's not as timely tomorrow.
Well, you never know. I've heard this show. What are you guys doing today?
Jim Peterick, Scott May from the Ides of March coming in to do some jamming.
Love those guys. What time are they in?
Right away, 10:30.
Are they in the green room right now?
They're yes. in the green room.
Oh. What color is
the
Jim's
green
hair?
And purple room
purple.
Today?
Yes.
You have purple hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love him.
I'm thinking about taking my hair purple. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. You
yes.
should do it.
Do the goatee purple.
Yes.
Or as I call it, the distraction.
Wait till the Northwestern.
What's that thing where they tinfoil your hair? What's that?
Highlights.
Highlights? Oh,
yeah. Or low lights.
No wonder I couldn't come up with that. I'm having that done, too, with tiny pieces of tinfoil.
Oh, nice.
Super duper tiny.
It can be very delicate.
You look like a human baked potato.
That's called frosted tips.
And you can pick us up on the stream with the tinfoil in your hair.
Oh, fantastic.
At 12 noon.
And to bring it full circle, frosted tips was my name when I was a stripper.
I knew it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Patty, what time are you on today?
1 p.m. to 3 p.m. filling in for King John Williams.
Oh, you'll be right
up
to these guys.
I
you
will
start
be.
Right now.
See you again.